In Northwest News on KPLU, I'm guessing you don't spend a lot of time thinking about our state constitution, but maybe you should. Recent Washington Supreme Court decisions, including one about charter schools, show how it still affects our lives. I sat down with University of Washington law professor Hugh Spitzer. He co-wrote what many consider the definitive book on the state constitution. Hugh Spitzer tells me the framers of Washington State's constitution back in 1889 were wary of big government, but believed in strong support for schools.
Our state constitution says that the paramount duty of the state is to provide for the education of children.
So one thing you had said is that we have an education article that differs from most other states.
From all other states. At least that first section about the paramount duty.
Of course, it's the paramount duty section that the state Supreme Court recently used in its McCleary decision. That's where it found the legislature in contempt for failing to adequately fund the schools. As for the origin of that paramount duty clause, it's a bit of a mystery. Spitzer says the language can actually be traced back to the post-Civil War South. During Reconstruction, the state of Florida's new constitution included the phrase, "It's the paramount duty of the state to provide for all children residing within its borders."
Without distinction on account of race, color, caste, or sex.
He says after Reconstruction, when Jim Crow laws were put in place, Florida quickly got rid of the section.
But for a reason that we don't know, Washington picked up that Florida language, which had been pulled out of the Florida Constitution a few years before.
And that isn't the only quirk, if you can call it that, in Washington's Constitution when it comes to schools. I asked Spitzer about the state Supreme Court's recent charter school decision, declaring the schools unconstitutional. And I tell him it's puzzling to a lot of people. It's had people looking at it saying, "What? Other states haven't done this? What is this about? What is the Supreme Court doing?"
We have the strongest K-12 constitutional provision in the country. This particular charter school case, I would characterize as a very conservative case in that the majority was sticking pretty closely to earlier decisions.
A key factor in this and earlier decisions is a case that goes back to 1909 involving a state teachers' college in eastern Washington. Spitzer says at what's now Eastern Washington University in Cheney, the legislature had set up an elementary school where the teachers in training could practice. But the local superintendent there was upset that his district was losing the state money allocated for those students.
The legislature had set this up so that for every kid who came from the Cheney School District, the state money went with that kid. Mm-hmm. So the school district in Cheney sued the state.
And won, arguing that the only public schools allowed are those run by a locally elected school board. The same argument used 106 years later to challenge charter schools. It isn't just in the school funding arena where Washington stands a bit apart. Let's talk about privacy rights. I asked Hugh Spitzer about something I've noticed, which is that some other states allow things like DUI roadblocks.
You know, like, say, New Year's Eve, where they set up a roadblock and then they check everybody. If you're not drunk, you can continue. That is not allowed in this state.
Right. In this state, you need a warrant or so-called probable cause to search somebody's car.
So we have much stronger, would you say, anti-search and seizure laws?
We do. It says no person shall be disturbed in his private affairs or his home invaded without authority of law. It's much stronger than in the U.S. Constitution.
How has that provision played out in terms of law in this state?
In the late 1800s and early 1900s, a police officer at that period was not permitted to search someone unless there was an imminent danger to the officer.
Spitzer says that was reaffirmed in the 1980s in a landmark case involving a man who'd been stopped and arrested. He challenged the police search of his car's glove compartment and won.
And the court basically said the officer should have locked up the car, gotten a warrant, come back, and then searched the car. I think there was marijuana in the car.
Spitzer says it was a time when, after years of the focus being on the federal constitution, the state Supreme Court decided to reexamine our own.
They actually went back to cases around the 1880s and 90s to the original understanding of our state constitution.
One thing to remember, Spitzer says, is that our constitution came out of the 19th century populist movement where people were concerned about protecting the little guy.
They were pretty suspicious, people writing the Constitution.
People who wrote our state constitution were suspicious of business and suspicious of government. They were mostly farmers who were pushed around quite a bit.
By the railroads.
By the railroads.
Thank you very much. Hugh Spitzer teaches constitutional law at the University of Washington Law School. Paula Whistle, KPLU News.